He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's October 19th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Just 2 weeks, one day away from a very contentious election. The market was up more here this morning, and it's backed off quite a bit. In other words, the starch is coming out of the shirt here, but you've still got some gains here that we're barely holding on to right now. The Dow, there it goes. Dow down 3 points now to 28,614, 601. The S&P 500 is down, or is up still, up 4 points to 34.85, around in there, 34.85. The NASDAQ, which was up 120 at one point, is really seeing the air come out of the tires here early on. There must be an update on those on-again, off-again stimulus talks. The NASDAQ's up just 25 points right now, 11,692. Russell 2000 holding on to some gains. It's up 0.6%, 1644. Crude oil is up 15 cents this morning, 41.03. I heard that a million people went through TSA over the weekend. That's the highest number since March of this year, but still down 64% from this time last year. Gold up 6.20 today. Good day for the precious metal stock so far. 1912 is the magic number on gold. Silver, 24.81. And lastly, the bond market. Seeing some action today. Actually, a little bit of a sell-off. Interest rates up a little. 0.78. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. It's the Monday morning edition as we begin a new week. In the market, we'll get some more earnings this week. We had several of the bank stocks reporting last week, and now this week we'll start moving out and branching out into other companies. I know the first technology stock, big one, will report tonight after the close. That's IBM. They will be reporting. IBM's got a little bit of lift back in their step. They've got a new CEO. He's moving towards the cloud. I mean, you just mentioned cloud and your stock goes up. That's what happened recently with IBM. But they've got a long track record of missing earnings estimates. We'll see how the new guy does. They'll be reporting earnings after the close. And then we'll have a full week of earnings reports this week. We're just 2 weeks, one day out from what promises to be a very, very, very contentious election. Who knows when the winner will be decided? Will it be election day? Will it be 2 months after the election? What will happen in the interim? We just don't know right now. I don't think anybody knows. It's all up in the air right now. I heard a good analogy of presidential elections. It's like watching college basketball or NBA. It all comes down to the last 2 minutes. The whole game is played in the last 2 minutes. Well, here we are in the last 2 weeks. Forget everything. You go back to how long ago were the Iowa caucuses, huh? Does anybody remember the Iowa caucuses? I do remember, however, that it took weeks to figure out who had won the Iowa caucuses. Is that a harbinger of what's to come? Seems like eons ago. Well, we're down into those final 2 minutes of the game, and you're going to see a lot between now and election day. Okay, how did we finish off last week? Well, not so good. The market sold off towards the end of the day. Stimulus, more stimulus. Gimme, gimme, gimme. The market can't get enough stimulus. It's hooked on stimulus. It's addicted to stimulus. It has withdrawals in between shots of stimulus. And in the meantime, the debt just keeps going higher and higher and higher. Well, we should have a decision one way or another this week. In fact, there's a self-imposed deadline, I think, being offered by Nancy Pelosi. I want to say Wednesday. We don't have something by then it's over. So it's coming to a crescendo here once again. We'll watch those stimulus talks as they swing back and forth as to how big the stimulus could be. Down 65 points. Okay, we went from up 150. In fact, the futures were up 200 at one point here this morning. And now we're down 65 on the Dow. The NASDAQ, let's get an update there on the NASDAQ. It was up 120 at the high this morning. The NASDAQ has now gone negative. I'm going back to bed. The NASDAQ's down 13 points right now. Well, there is some optimism. President Trump said on Sunday he wants a bigger stimulus package, even bigger than House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Actually, her deadline is tomorrow. She gave a Tuesday deadline for talks, and she suggested that Trump could quickly convince Republicans to get on board with their package. The U.S. recorded over 70,000 new cases of coronavirus on Saturday for the first time since July, while Pfizer said earlier that it could be ready to apply for emergency use authorization of its COVID-19 vaccine by late November. Maybe that will be right around Thanksgiving time. We shall see. On the earnings front, Halliburton, IBM will kick off a busy week for earnings. Fed Chair Jerome Powell is scheduled to speak at the IMF, that's the International Monetary Fund's annual meeting. What are they going to be talking about? Digital currencies. I do see somewhere out in the future, though, a global digital currency possibly. We'll see, but they're talking about that today. Japan up 1.1% overnight. Hong Kong up 0.6%. China GDP comes in stronger than expected, but their market down 0.75%. The hot market overnight, India, up 1.1%. China GDP grew by 4.9%. You know, they only had one quarter of negative GDP. That was obviously the first quarter of this year. They were running at 6 to 6.5% most of last year for their quarterly GDP numbers. They went negative by 6.8 in the first quarter of this year. And then in the last quarter, they were up 3.2%, then 4.9%, and now they say they're back to 4.9%, which is not bad if they're telling the truth. We really don't know that. And let's see, what else? Europe. COVID-19 cases surging in much of Europe. Governments continue to impose greater measures aimed at curbing a second wave. Switzerland announced mask mandates and banned large-scale public gatherings, while Belgium tightened restrictions and curfews, with its health minister warning of a coronavirus tsunami. That's in Belgium. Elsewhere, Italy approved fresh anti-coronavirus controls. I know that Israel's lockdown ended yesterday. Ireland was set to approve its tightest measures since April, and tougher UK lockdowns are likely coming to Wales and to Manchester. Well, that creates a lot of uncertainty, obviously, in the European economy. In fact, the European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde, in a virtual panel discussion with heads of central banks, says the COVID-19 infections in the euro area will increase uncertainty for both companies and families. It is putting the whole world, it would seem, into commotion. this coronavirus pandemic. It's a worldwide global pandemic that's affected just about every part of the earth. How much has been spent so far on political ad spending? Well, none of the candidates have called me to run ads during my show. Maybe the stations are running their own. I don't know. But there's a $6.8 billion pot that's been spent so far on political ad spending. That's a record. It's a boon for local TV. Hey, how about a little local radio, huh? Come on, guys. I've got a large listening audience in key swing states. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be swinging right back here to the tune of Stephen Stills, all right? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You know, I'm on StockTwits every day, which is the stock version of Twitter. And I have somewhere between 55 to 60,000 followers there on StockTwits, and I watch it during the day. And I do send out, when something really makes my eyes pop out, I do send out twits during the day, and they do carry through to Twitter also. I'm at Bill Gunderson on StockTwits and on Twitter. It's like a fishing guide being on the water all day, and when he sees fish breaking the water or big schools of bait swarming and fish, he sends out a little message. Hey, guys, over here, right here at the entrance to, you know, whatever creek, Shem Creek, there's schools of bait and fish. That's valuable stuff. I mean, these are on-the-water reports. I see a lot of people on StockTwits. They just seem to be in love with these $1, 96 cent, $3, $4 stocks. And I'll see some guy saying, you know what, this thing's breaking through its moving averages right now. It's off to the races. I'm buying 5,000 more shares. And I'll look at it, and it's just garbage. It's a garbage stock. They're just trading moves, I guess, in these stocks. And the thought is, gee, I can buy 5,000 shares or 1,000 shares. Imagine what it would cost to buy 1,000 shares of Amazon, you know? $330,000, whereas you can buy 1,000 shares of a $5 stock for $5,000. Where are the brokerage firms where these people are lurking that are buying these under $5 stocks? Robinhooders are more than twice as likely to be betting on sub-$5 stocks than any of the other top six brokers. Now, once in a great while, under $5 stocks will show up on my momentum screen. Oh, every day there's momentum, my momentum screen of A-plus or better momentum stocks. There's many under $5, and if one really catches my eye, I'll send it out. But I would just say this, when you see a breakout of a $2 or $3 stock, it almost seems like you're better off shorting that stock, because it almost seems like they're going to do one of two things. They're going to come back down to earth the very next day or later in the day. I would say if you're a trader, look for the big movers in the morning at the market open. And look to short some of those stocks because they come down usually later in the day. What are the most heavily shorted stocks out there right now? GameStop, number one. Ligand Pharmaceutical, number two. Bed Bath & Beyond, number three. In fact, a lot of bricks and mortar stocks are on the short side of the list right now, with the short sellers hoping for more crashing and burning of the bricks and mortars. They got Macerich. They own malls. That's the number four most shorted stock. Tanger Factory Outlets. Does anybody go to factory outlet malls anymore? Clovis Oncology. Children's Place, number eight. Macy's, number nine. iRobot. Those are some of the most heavily shorted stocks in the market right now. There's a couple a big there's a new report out on a company. Well, actually, it was a report last week. I tell you, this Hindenburg does some pretty good research. He reported on one last week called Loop Capital, and I see Loop Capital is now under investigation by the SEC. That's music to the ears of a short seller. And I also see today that Nikola is making plans to go it alone just in case GM backs out of their agreement. So that was another one. Hindenburg, the short seller, writing a scathing report that so far has been pretty good research. Brokers offer retail investors 20 times leverage for the Ant IPO. What is the Ant IPO? It's going to be the biggest IPO of all time. One of the biggest IPOs of all time. Alibaba is a big investor in Ant Financial. Jack Ma with a massive investment in this stock. Alibaba's been on a tear here over the last couple of weeks. Alibaba continues to be a very cheap, large-cap growth company. Well, Ant, this is the part of the story that caught my eye. Company insiders reportedly want Ant Financial, which is currently owned by Alibaba mostly, to complete its IPO before the U.S. presidential elections on November 3rd. Now, why would that be? They claim to avoid running into ensuing choppy financial markets. Well, what do you expect? I mean, what do we expect? What does the market expect? What do analysts expect? I don't think anybody knows the answer, but I think we're all leaning to, I don't think it's going to be decided the day of the election, and there could be some choppiness afterwards. Well, Alibaba's thinking the same way. They want to bring Ant Financial public before Election Day. Alibaba's bankers also must grapple with any potential delays stemming from a debate in Washington over restrictions on the payments giant. That could be another one of the companies put on the American restricted list. And there's also continuing discussions that surround China's Tencent holdings. Well, the potential speed bumps aren't breaking the confidence of Hong Kong stockbrokers, however, which see the blockbuster IPO going so smoothly that they're offering mom-and-pop investors to buy the stock with as much as 20 times leverage. That's right. Plop down enough to buy 10 shares, and they'll give you 100 shares. They believe it's going to be a red-hot IPO. That's the highest ratio ever offered by brokerages and reflects the fierce competition for finance and trading fees on what could be the biggest IPO in history that you've probably never heard of. Ant Financial being spun off by Alibaba. Speaking of deals, there is a deal today in the oil patch. ConocoPhillips confirms a $9.7 billion deal for Concho Resources. Boy, I'd have to look back at my book that I wrote in 2013. I want to say that Concho was one of the 53 stocks in that book, CXO. Concho, though, barely reacting to the news. They must be buying it. Well, let's see, $9.7 billion. That's basically where it closed on Friday, so I see. There is no premium that they're offering. They're buying it at market price. American Airlines, this is good news for Boeing. American Airlines is preparing to operate a daily 737 MAX flight between Miami and New York from December 29th to January 4th with flights available for booking from October 24th, customers will be notified that they are flying on a 737 MAX. These will be the first flights of that airplane since being grounded. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the Dow's gone positive now. Oh, man, I need something for my neck. Maybe a whiplash brace. The Dow's up 24 points right now. The NASDAQ is now positive by 14 cents. 14 cents. Hey, it's going to be an exciting day at the office here today. A couple stocks in the news here. Loop Industries, getting a little loopy there. Got last week it was Hindenburg, which issued a new short report. Well, Loop Industries being investigated by the SEC. Loop says the investigation does not mean the SEC has concluded that anyone has violated the law. Well, Loop has shed 35%. Since Hindenburg called them out. Well, you can go to Hindenburg Research to follow him. He's a real optimistic, positive kind of guy. His Nikola call out seems to have been pretty accurate. Now you've got the new CEO of Nikola after the old CEO and founder, Trevor Milton, stepped down. Mark Russell's the new guy. He sees a path for the company, even if it can't work out a deal with General Motors. Oh, man, what a mess that is. Well, Nikola actually is up a little bit here today. I saw that thing coming. You know, I was pretty optimistic on the stock for a while. I guess I was drinking the Trevor Milton Kool-Aid. It got up to $94 per share earlier this year. It's now trading at $21 per share. Nikola, a Badger Truck is their infamous claim to fame, I guess, right now. We'll see if it ever becomes a big deal. If you're looking for work, CVS going to hire another 15,000 employees. If you got to Walmart or Home Depot or any of the big stores over the weekend, I see they're fully stocked. Christmas stuff out there. Costco got their Christmas stuff up. Looking for a big Christmas, CVS looking to hire another 15,000 employees. That's a lousy stock, however. I did well with Aetna, which CVS bought out as CVS strives to get more and more into the healthcare and health insurance business. But CVS has not been a very good performer. Definitely not a Best Stocks Now. We got a couple of COVID stocks in the news. Centogene, I want to say that's a German stock, CNTG. Yeah, Germany. Oh, nice move there. Wow, it's up 14%. That's a nice chart. The FDA has signed off on emergency use of Centogene, CentoSure, SARS molecular test for asymptomatic individuals, clearing the way for its use in widespread testing during the pandemic. So whether you got symptoms or not, Centogene's got the test for you. Nice move in that stock today. Huge volume. It's up 14%. The other COVID, there's a couple more. Osher, O-S-U-R. I've talked about that one a few times. They have a saliva test. I understand. I personally have not had a COVID-19 test of any sort. My wife had one. She did not particularly like them shoving something up her nasal passage into her brain or wherever it went, the sinuses, I guess. OraSure has a saliva test. That's up 19% here this morning in the early trading. And you've got India. Looks like India's going to be a guinea pig for Russia's so-called vaccine. We haven't heard about that one lately. Sputnik V is Russia's vaccine. They tested it on three soldiers
who volunteered. They say they volunteered. I don't know about that. I think it was 32 soldiers, actually. Dr. Reddy's Laboratories. Now, that's a very big company. It's a big drug company out of India. And the Russian Direct Investment Fund say they have received approval from the Drug Control General of India, I guess that's their FDA, to initiate an adaptive phase 2 and 3 human clinical trials for Sputnik V vaccine in India. Well, that's interesting. We'll see where that one goes and how those trials go. And if those are volunteers or, forced guinea pigs, I don't know. NASA selects Nokia to build the first ever cellular network on the moon. Now, I'm glad to hear that. If I decide to take one of those trips to the moon, fly me to the moon, said Frank Sinatra. Mike, I'll get maybe more bars there than I'm getting here in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I don't know. I only get two bars here on the river. Some days you hear me drop out for a moment or two during the show. But NASA selects Nokia to build the first ever cellular network on the moon. I don't know what they're planning up there, but there will be a cellular network. A new player in the electric vehicle. I'm watching this one, SPI. SPI, I've brought that to your attention a few times. It ran up to $47. I think what SPI has is the solar chargers, Edison Future, to capitalize on the rapidly growing demand for electric vehicles. Well, you know, that's all part. The infrastructure has to be built out with fewer people getting on airplanes and electric cars not having much range. You got to have a pretty robust network infrastructure out there. SPI becoming a big player. It's a Chinese company. Kohl's partners with Cole Haan. Maybe they can name it Kohl's and Cole. I don't know. Kohl's seems like to me it's in survival mode. They're just barely hanging in there. I'm surprised they're not one of the most shorted stocks. They probably are. Maybe they're in the top 50. I didn't read the whole list. Kohl's announced that iconic American performance lifestyle brand Cole Haan. I wear Cole Haan footwear. I like their shoes. You'll be able to get them at Kohl's now. Lair's Superfood. We've been watching this one. That was a recent IPO. The whole plant-based craze. You know, here's my problem with the plant-based craze. I was at my local supermarket on Saturday. There's about 10 veggie burgers to choose from now. Some are made from soybean. Some are made from pea protein. Some are made from black beans. There's all kinds. I don't know how anybody's going to be profitable. It seems to me that Beyond Meat is the most well-positioned. I saw Impossible Burgers. I looked at those. Two burger patties for $7.50? I can get two Big Macs, three, if I'm lucky. For that price, this whole plant-based business, however, is big business. And Laird Superfoods breaking out to a new high today. LSF, what do? Plant-based coffee creamer, supplements, instant coffees, teas, and hot chocolate products, all built around a plant-based infrastructure. Halliburton, you know, the energy sector, Halliburton did report earnings. I remember when Halliburton was a big thing. Halliburton, not such a big thing anymore. It's an $11 billion company now, an $11 billion company. I remember one time when it was a $70 billion company, the venerable old Halliburton. How did Amazon's Prime Day go? Well, they moved it way up. I think they wanted to move it way up before the shipping. I was reading about shipping's going to get real tight here. Everything is being shipped now. It's putting constraints on the whole shipping infrastructure.
Amazon's Prime event today, I want to say it was up 60% versus the same one last year. Did I get that stat? Let's see how Amazon, let's check and see how Amazon is doing today. Amazon, the massive online retailer, it's flat today. Amazon down 1.3%. I call that a sideways trend right now in Amazon, despite having a very good Prime Day. Okay, when we come back, I've got one, two, three stocks on my radar. We'll choose one of them as our featured stock of the day. I updated the whole earnings picture on Saturday in my newsletter. I updated my projections for next year and 2022. Man, you ought to take a look at that. That's been the best indicator of all over the last 12 years. Go to GundersonCapital.com. Check out last week's newsletter. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do. Live to whatever you wanna be. You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Dow down 32. It's been down, up, down, up, up, down, and then down, up during the last 45 minutes of the show. The NASDAQ's been up, down, and then down, up, and up, down, and now it's down. Down 28 points. Round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. Okay, well, we will have a featured stock here. I like this one a lot. You know, the home building industry got a lot of things going for it right now. None bigger than small interest rates, okay? Very low, record interest rates. 30-year, 2.8, somewhere around that level. Yeah, that's one big factor going for the home building industry. Number two, people fleeing the large cities. First, it was coronavirus. You know, I mean, all the restaurants shut down. You're in tight quarters, getting on elevators and tall buildings, things like this that you kind of want to avoid, being on subways, mass transit, etc. Headed for the suburbs, get a little land where you can grow some tomatoes, some lettuce, radishes, whatever. Well, that's all been good for the home building industry. And of course, certain states are on the receiving end, and certain states are on the people leaving end. Well, for that reason, I own a home building stock in my emerging growth portfolio by the name of Green Brick Partners. Where else are you going to hear about Green Brick Partners? No, it's not a bricks and mortar stock. Instead, it's a home builder. It is a microcap, $980 million. We'll call it a billion. By the end of the day, it'll be a billion, we hope. It's $980 right now, million. They own, develop, and sell land and build single-family homes. Where? In the Dallas and Atlanta markets, also in the states of Texas and Atlanta and Georgia, actually Georgia. Atlanta, not a state yet. Well, the stock's been doing quite well. Thank you. It was a $1 stock back in 2014, just 6 years ago. Now it's $19.39. That means it's got to have some pretty good performance numbers, which is half of my equation. You got to have that momentum. You've got to have that performance. It's one of the top performers in the market. It's got a momentum grade of A. And if you look over the last 12 months to 3 years, it's been smoking from a momentum. Alpha. Alpha is how the stock, the gap between the performance of the stock and the market, S&P 500. Over the last 3 years, Green Brick, which is GRBK, if you were wondering, GRBK
has averaged 42% per year returns, okay? No guarantees going forward. That's the past 3 years. With the market averaging 10.8% per year. So it's pretty much quadrupled the market over the last 3 years. And over the last 12 months, the stock's up 77%, while the market's up 16%. It's lapped the market almost five times. Now, from a valuation point of view, I think they got it wrong as far as the growth rate out there on the street. I have a much higher growth rate than what there must not be a whole lot of analyst coverage on this one. So I've done my own work and my own look at their income statement and their past growth. Their past growth has been 24% per year. And their last four quarters have been 38, 24, 26, 27. Yet the consensus growth rate is 1.7. There's something wrong there. When I plug in my own growth rate, I get a much better target price than what the analyst growth rate would suggest. Greenbrick, GRBK, shows up as being ranked number 1,300. But when I put in my target price, that's my unpublished target price, the stock moves way up in value. And it has a very, very powerful stock chart hitting a new all-time high today. We own a small position in Green Brick Partners, GRBK. I never seen a Green Brick. We have a lot of red bricks here in the Charleston area, but green bricks, I don't know. Maybe when they get moss on them on the north side of the building. Anyways, we'll make GRBK our featured stock of the day and also disclose that we own it in the emerging growth portfolio, which has done very well. I think it's up 28% so far this year, while the market's up about 7%. So anyways, there you go. We've got everything from the bond portfolio, take it a notch lower to the dividend and growth, take it a notch lower to the large cap growth. One step below that is ultra growth. And at AA level, we have emerging growth. That's what we offer here at Gunderson Capital. You can mix and match. You can check out how those portfolios are doing, what's in them, what we've bought recently, what we've sold recently by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com and getting a free 2-week trial to my weekly newsletter. Now, our biggest business here is managing money for other folks who don't have the time, maybe the wherewithal to do it. It is very time consuming. You can call one of our advisors here at Gunderson Capital at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or you can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com and set up an appointment via telephone. We got a CFA on staff, chartered financial advisor, who will be, he's more than capable of putting a plan together for you. And of course, we've got a great team here that will make it very easy. We're with Schwab now, from what I understand. Ameritrade is now Schwab. So that makes it even easier, especially if you have an account already at Schwab. 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.